Welcome to Unbox Innovation. I'm your host, Amy Shadroff, and today we're talking all about helping teachers embrace change through technology. And our guests today are Farah Ihsan and Emily Turk. They are both education consultants for Boxlight. And ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. Nice to be here.
Let's start off with how you both have seen classrooms change with technology over the past couple of years. Farah, do you want to start?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we talk about technology in the classroom, it's very pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, right? I taught in both pre and post-pandemic and got to see how we have adapted technology at this increasing rate in the classroom, right? Before the pandemic, it was never a situation where everybody had their own device. Every student had their own tablet, their own laptop, Chromebook, whatever it may be. And now it's kind of a norm when you go visit schools. It's nice though, because kids, this generation of kids, all they know is technology, right? So for them, it's not really as much of an adaptation as it is for the teachers in the classroom, in my opinion. But it's been able to open some really creative doors in classrooms all across the country. I don't know, Emily, if you have a different insight there, but it's kind of been growing at an increasing rate, but in the best ways, in my opinion.
Emily, how do you?
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's that pre and post pandemic for sure. But I think it also depends on funding as well. And as funding has fluctuated for public or private schools, that sort of determines when different technology pieces come in. So we see such a range across states and even across counties where student devices may be updated to a certain degree, but teachers are still using outdated technology or vice versa. And we really get excited about technology that's being used because that means that students are usually part of that learning process and having a little bit more control over how they're learning because they're getting excited about what they're using in the class, and teachers are sort of gearing it towards what students are interested in using that technology piece.
But if teachers are sort of back in the Stone Ages with their technology that doesn't agree with the advanced technology that the students have, how tough is that for teachers to try to teach with those older tools?
It is very difficult. You get very creative. Yeah, it is definitely a challenge, but that's why there's so many resources out there. Our part of our position at Boxlight is to help bridge that gap with teachers and make them feel comfortable and confident no matter what resources they have or what resources students have. And the change in technology is just so vast. We just have to sort of be ready for anything.
Every school is different. I mean, we kind of have to meet them where they're at. You know, we have a variety of products and a wealth of knowledge, but it's not going to be appropriate to provide that at every school we visit. We kind of just have to help them adapt to their changes, but we kind of have to adapt the way that we help them as well, because they're all, like you said, some of them are, quote, in the Stone Age, right? They're not going to be given the same tools by us that we would give to school that's maybe a little bit more advanced with what they already have.
How about when teachers are trying out new tech tools? I would imagine there's a bit of a learning curve, and it takes some teachers some time to try to figure out how to successfully introduce that new technology in the classroom. Is there help for them to tackle these issues if they don't even know where to begin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see that all the time. You know, there's definitely a lot of educators that are apprehensive about, you know, embracing new technology that the district provides for them. I think, you know, in our role, we are one of those resources with those districts that we work with, right? We are both former educators ourselves. So I think it's really important that our teachers that we work with know that, because we can kind of meet them where they're at. We know what their perspective is. We know the kind of time or lack thereof that they have on their hands, but we also do a lot of kind of train the trainer situations. We'll pick, you know, a group of teachers in a building that maybe are a little bit more tech savvy and give them, pass on all the knowledge that we have. And then they're kind of that standing resource in their building to help all those other teachers that maybe are not as comfortable as they would be.
And I would agree with that, but I also would like to add, I think too, it depends on how the school runs their professional development and also their teacher support. Because like Farah said, we do have the train the trainer programs. where if you have a curriculum department within your district or even within your schools where you have instructors that are there to support teachers and the resources they're using and the technology they're using with those resources, then you're going to have a better usage rate. You're going to have teachers that know who to reach out to ask questions of. You're going to have people that have practice and hands-on are using the tools with the curriculum programs that are used within the district, because between states, between districts within the state, there's different curriculum programs that were adopted and paid for and being used. And so integrating that into the technology that teachers and students have can be a very difficult process. The best schools that I've seen utilize those resources across most teachers and being able to support even teachers that maybe have never touched technology before in their personal lives are the ones that have curriculum instructors or a team of support that can answer questions, go into the classroom, partner teach, co-teach with the teacher, or even model that just for the teacher to see and have professional development sessions maybe at the beginning of the school year and even mid-school year where teachers feel comfortable exploring with others in a setting where they have access to all the tools that students would use and teachers would use in order to better understand how to use them together.
Did you want to say something, Farah?
I was going to say it takes a village, honestly. I mean, people say that about parenting all the time, but I would argue that it's the same in a school building, you know, whether it's adopting new curriculum, new technology, whatever it is. I mean, we've been in that position. We know how much they already have on their plate. So we try to help them navigate through those resources, whether it's us, whether it's, you know, a PD team at their building, a colleague of theirs, whatever it is, we try to get that information for them. Because, I mean, it's a lot for anybody, you know.
Have you ever come across a time when technology was just not welcomed in the classroom or a teacher just didn't embrace it at all? And how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've definitely had a few instances where I visit a school. I'm going through my spiel talking about all the cool tools and all of this stuff. And I've had someone say to me, you know, honey, you did a great job, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to do any of this stuff because I don't have time. And I get it. You know, it's not something you can take personally because, again, there is so much more going on. And again, depending on the state we're in, depending on the district, depending on the school, I mean, there could be a variety of other issues going on where that's really the least of their concern, right? So, I mean, I always tell them, you know, if you are comfortable with what you're doing right now and this is too much for you, by all means, you don't have to implement it, right? Like there, you are trying to make sure your kids are safe, they're learning, and they're having a successful day in the building. If applying this new tool is too much for you to do next week, then don't do it. I mean, that's kind of the reality of it for me. If, you know, if I'm overwhelmed, I'm not going to listen to some random stranger being like, this is what you need to now implement because come on, I have so many other things on my plate. Maybe this new tool isn't the biggest priority to me right now, and that's okay.
We ask teachers, you know, do one thing at a time. What's the first thing you're going to implement? What's the first thing you're going to try? And then as we're following up throughout the year, we may ask, okay, did you try that? How did it go? How did you feel? The next step that you can try. And that position that we take, it's very similar to like what we would use in the classroom with students if something wasn't going well. We would definitely be cautious, understanding, and supportive as much as we could be because we're trying to marry the two of what they know and what they use versus what's coming next because we know it's going to change in the next couple months as well. So we try to be very cognizant of that. But I think, too, I'm thinking back to when I was a teacher and working with post-pandemic, we added a bunch of changes to different programs we use. And we had teachers who never touched it before, didn't understand the interface, were confused on how to capture data, which was so important for us as a school and what we did was we spent time where we just offered workshops. We had people who were the point people, like Farah was saying, like have one person that understands it, that different teachers can go to. And that sort of helped bring a lot of those teachers out of their shell because everybody else was using it. And there were so many opportunities to try and to be successful in a closed setting that they felt more confident using it within the classroom. And again, celebrating those teachers that are using it, and especially celebrating those teachers who were not comfortable using it in the first place, both in our education consultant position and even as a teacher at school. It sounds silly, but those celebrations go a long way, just like they do for your students.
Are there some school principals or even different team leaders for each of the grade levels who are saying, yeah, we're requiring you to do this and you need to get up to speed?
Yeah, there is a lot of that. And I think as former educators, we understand there's red tape and you have to follow certain mandates. You have to follow certain thresholds and meet those requirements, whether you want to or not. And you definitely always have your students first in your mind and doing the best you can for your students and meeting their needs first. But there are a lot of other things that come with being a teacher that I think a lot of people got to see post-pandemic or during the pandemic. But we want them to feel confident meeting those barriers. And so that's why we have positions where we're education consultants for our company. So when they're implementing technology from our company, we're here as a resource. And then, like I said, the best schools that I've seen are ones that have those support people in place to help both on the campus and within the district.
Farah, I see you shaking your head.
Emily, you said something about, I don't remember how you worded it, but you said something about kind of the way you would work with your students, right? Working with adults is so similar to working with children. And I mean that in the sense of that whole model of, you know, I do, we do, you do, that gradual release. It's the same thing when we're trying to teach adults how to use a new piece of hardware, a new piece of software, new curriculum, whatever it may be. Just building that relationship with them the way that you have to with students, to let them know that you are someone that they can come to with questions. I mean, I've had several teachers say at the end, thank you so much for giving us your email. They don't know that it's part of my job to be like, you can email me directly, but they really appreciate it because they feel like I'm actually there advocating for them. I want to make sure they're successful the same way that I would interact with my students at the first day of school who don't know me. I need to do what I need to do to make sure that you know I'm someone you can turn to. And it's the same with the teachers too.
You said you give out your email and you welcome messages, and I'm sure you talk with the teachers. Do you have any specific success stories that you can let us in on and tell us about?
Yeah, I have one that comes to mind just from this past week. We had a district that implemented some interactive flat panels of ours that were a bit of an older model. And she was just like, I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to use it. And I, you know, got on several solo one-on-one calls with this teacher, walked her through all these things. She emailed me this morning. She goes, you know, I took the weekend to take a break from all of this tech frustration. And I walked in this Monday, I followed all your steps and I am so excited because everything works the way you did. She's like, now, you know, I'm going to use this to its full capability. I'm going to, you know, I've never used this in a way where my students are interacting with this piece of technology. It's kind of always been this thing on my wall and I'm so, so excited. I mean, she literally said, you know, I feel like I'm passionate about teaching this curriculum again, because I now know how to do it in a way where my kids are going to interact with it. That was the first thing I read when I opened my email this morning. So that just put a big smile on my face because she completely did a 180. You know, I'm going from so frustrated, I hate this piece of technology, I don't know what to do with it, to I'm passionate about teaching my curriculum again because my kids are going to be so excited about it.
That's a feather in your cap.
Well, I mean, just kind of that, again, building that relationship, you know, for her too. I mean, she had to be open-minded enough to trust me through the process. She could have easily been like, you know what, lady, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I'm done here.
What it is. I hate you. I'm moving on. She could have, right? Because she was very frustrated. But she stuck through it. And I mean, she's super excited right now. So I'm happy for her. That's and for beautiful. Her students.
Yeah. How about you, Emily?
Yes, I was very lucky that I got the opportunity to go into a district that was going through a lot of change and a lot of mandates that they had to adjust a lot of pieces of their teaching and their school communities and cultures to fit this new mandate or new mandates. And so when I went into training, it was a very hostile environment and it was almost like a warning, like, okay, just go in, do what you need to do and get out. But it was really nice to spend that time during my training connecting with people, getting answers to their questions that they had, and reminding them that this is one piece they didn't have to worry about, that with all the other changes, I've got their back. I'm available during the day. My dog and I could do a training anytime, or, you know, reach out anytime you want to my email, and I'm going to try to answer your questions right away, because I know it's in a timely manner too for teachers. Like, we can say all day, oh, reach out, reach out, reach out. But then if they get shuffled and they don't get their questions answered, they got to move on, because teaching is very fast paced. So I think for me, I was excited to hear feedback from those trainings that they felt so much more comfortable using that technology going into the new school year. They were very excited to try different things. And I haven't heard a lot of negative feedback since. So there wasn't a lot of troubleshooting that needed to happen. They felt very comfortable utilizing it from the get-go with the new programs that they had to learn for the curriculum. And I haven't heard anything since then about, oh, it's not working or this is not connecting. So that for me was a very successful story, just to have that sense of relief for the teachers at the beginning of the year with everything else going on.
That's wonderful. You both have success stories with teachers. How about with students? Do you hear from the students at all about how they appreciate the addition of technology into the classroom and how much it increases their engagement?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we definitely work with the teachers far more than we work with students. I will say that's one major thing that I miss transitioning from the classroom to ed tech. But that being said, I have been at kind of like district science fairs and things like that, where the children are there and I get to show them, like, for example, some of our STEM technology, right? I'm showing them how to use it. They're kind of building and creating fun activities, fun, you know, models, whatever it is. And they are passionate about it. Their eyes light up and they're like, oh my God, can we get this in my classroom? Like, this is so cool. And it's really just, again, that small, you think that kids are not going to be excited about anything that has to do with school, right? But the second you give them something that they know, and in this case, technology, because let's be honest, all of us as teachers have asked our students to troubleshoot our technology for us.
Like parents ask their kids to help them, right? And grandparents.
It's so true, though. It's so true. I've had teachers say, you know what? I'm just going to have one of my fifth graders do this for me, which is so true, because it's second nature to them. We didn't grow up with it glued to our hands the way that they do. So being able to work with them, even in a small setting like a fair, which I don't get to do often, but seeing their eyes light up because they know that they can do something with this, it's different than saying, oh, here's a textbook. You can pick any topic of your choice to research. They're not excited about that because they don't know that the way that they know technology. But I wish I got to work with the kids more. Hopefully, you know, there's more events like that in my future. But I mean, I just enjoy seeing them get excited about it.
How about you, Emily? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, hearing them get excited about it too. I don't work directly with students either, but I do the expos or even booths and stand there and monitor people coming to our booth to learn about our products. And we've had people from different districts that are working in technology, admin, or even teachers that are walking by that say, oh, my students have it in their district. My kids, like their personal children, have it in their district and they love it and they talk about it all the time. And we get to see online on social media posts that are about maybe our audio solutions or our interactive flat panels. where parents are commenting like, oh, my student has this, and they're listening so much more to the teacher, or they come home so much more engaged and excited about what they learned that day. They actually remember what to tell me at the dinner table. So those sort of comments, even if they're in passing, that means a lot to us because we know that teachers are then using it effectively enough that students are picking it up. I mean, it's sort of like that channel where you're going in. We want it to get to the student, but we're definitely starting at a broader range first.
You mentioned at the beginning of this show that tech is changing so fast. So how do you keep up with the technology? Because once it's in the classroom, it's already outdated. It's just like buying a new computer. As soon as you buy it, it's yesterday's technology.
It is. Yeah, it's hard. I definitely would say trying to stay as tech savvy yourself and maybe having a big network of people that you can rely on that could tell you about cool stuff, whether it be in the classroom or just in general, because a lot of in-classroom tools get translated from technology that's used in everyday life, chat servers, or having a platform that you can post files to. That's how Google Classroom came to be. So it's nice to see new technology that's happening every day and being a part of it and signing up and trying it personally yourself so that when it becomes part of the education world or there's a way to connect it to education and integrate it into the classroom, you have that knowledge or at least that insight that you've seen it before and felt it before. So you're not just standing up there going, I have no idea what you're talking about. You definitely don't want to get caught in that situation.
You also have teachers are so creative too. You know, it's kind of like our iPhones are, you know, by the time we get the new one, there's already an ad for the one that's going to come out next year, right? But you have to get creative with what you have. And teachers, luckily, are a very creative bunch of people. So, you know, while they may be implementing technology right now, that's going to be old next year, they're still, to them, it's fresh and new. Right. To them, this is the first new piece of technology they've had in their classroom in years. So they're going to get creative and have fun with it and implement it in a way that the kids are going to have fun with it. And yeah, maybe next year it's going to be outdated, but they're still going to be using it and teaching so much more effectively than they were the last few years.
What do you think the classroom of the future is going to look like? If you were to have a display, I guess, at Disney World, and they showed what the classroom would look like, what would it look like?
I think a lot more hands-on, a lot more building, a lot more creativity, a lot more STEM, not just for science, but integrated in all subjects. Things that are allowing the kids to really be in charge of their creativity, helping them learn according to their own learning style. There's so much technology right now. You know, we've been talking about panels, you know, STEM, printers, you know, audio tools. There's technology for all different types of learners. So as we continue bringing that into the education space, all the kids are going to start figuring out, all right, this is my best learning style that allows me to be the most creative self. And I think it's just going to be steering away from that traditional learning style. And it's going to be a lot more, let the kids be in charge and have autonomy over their own learning. Hopefully that's the direction that it heads to with all the technology we have that kind of gears toward those different learning styles.
Absolutely. And definitely having that student ownership and accountability when they're taking ownership and keeping each other accountable, that lets you run the classroom a lot smoother. I remember as a teacher, my best day was when I didn't do any teaching at all. And I just got to sit back and facilitate and allow for students to explore because they would meet the standards that I needed them to meet. They would figure out the pieces of the problem that I needed them to solve. They would read into and understand the context of a passage that maybe I thought was above their head. But once they started diving into it and talking to each other, when they were leading, they were discovering and it was more impactful for their takeaway from the classroom. And so I agree with Farah. I think the future classroom is going to be designed by students, led by students, and the resources that are in the classroom, the seating that's in the classroom, the way the students face each other in the classroom, and how they interact with people outside of a classroom, even within the school or without outside of the school, having guest speakers, being able to connect directly to the International Space Station, being able to reach out and use their resources within the classroom to connect them to the world so that they are the ones that are in charge of their learning and directing their learning. And a teacher is there to facilitate and guide how they do that with the resources they have.
So let's end things with what your favorite piece of technology is that can be used in the classroom right now. Farah, let's start with you.
Okay, there's so many. I'm going to do a little Boxlight plug here and do one of the products that we provide that I genuinely believe in. And it's our STEM products. We always talk about, you know, STEM is like kind of the new deal in education. Everybody wants a 3D printer. Everybody wants any type of STEM technology, really. But a lot of districts bring that in and people don't really know how to use it. And something that we have that I haven't seen anywhere else is a really awesome, easy 3D printer with a full set of curriculum to go with it. It is so user-friendly that you could plop it into a classroom and a student could be the one to unbox it and get it started. But because of that, it goes back to that creativity piece, right? It's such a hands-on tool for kids to get designing whatever it is that they want to design, models that have to do with animal cells, if that's what they're learning. It could be really anything, but it's such a creative tool that allows the kids to do the engineering, the designing, the, you know, and printing and designing these things that are so applicable and relevant to whatever the curriculum is that they have going on. I feel like that is something that boosts creativity. It again gives them that autonomy over their learning. And it's just a fun way. Like, you know, districts that we have that use that technology, the kids don't even feel like they're learning and they're stuck in, you know, a classroom having to sit through a boring lesson because they are in charge of the creative piece of it. It's fun for them. So for me, any piece of technology that makes learning fun is what I think should be the very first thing that's being implemented.
How about you, Emily?
I was thinking of the technology that I would not be able to teach without anymore, because I taught in a school when I first started that didn't have what we consider technology now. Like they maybe had projectors, but even then students didn't have one-to-one devices. And there was a teacher device, but it was like a hardwired computer and it was only used to submit lesson plans. So I was trying to think of what I couldn't live without now going forward in teaching. And I really think it would be any software that allows for collaboration. So with our interactive lab panels, we have a polling tool that allows students to vote for answers or write messages where they all can see it, or pick and choose and share out their answers by getting picked by this software. And we also have interactive whiteboarding software. We have two different interactive whiteboarding softwares on our interactive flat panels that allow for multiple students to write at once, for them to bring in resources to help present their ideas and share their learning. And I think without those tools in the classroom, I don't think I would be able to effectively teach and allow for students to share what they know and get excited about learning with each other.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and letting us in on all the technology that teachers can use and students can learn from. And they can probably teach the teachers about as well. I mean, it's amazing how far we've come from the days that, like you said, Emily, of no technology in the classroom. So it's exciting. And we're really excited to see what the future holds for students in the future.
Thank you.
Yeah, same here. I hope that we're both in this profession for many more years to come so we can see that change as it's happening, because it's just really cool to be able to witness.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Farah Ihsan and Emily Turk, both education consultants for Boxlight. You've been watching Unbox Innovation. Thanks for joining us.